CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com. My name is Pinky Mokemane, and today we're discussing mental illness. So in studio today, I have Neo Ramafoko, known as Neo Fabulous. Neo Fabulous is a founder of Safe Space Inc., an NPO that focuses on mental illnesses. With Neo, we have Neo Silibano. So Neo is the founder of Emalina, which is also an NPO. Along them, they have Mbali. Mbali is here with Neo Fabulous, and Mpumi is just sitting there in the background supporting Neo Silibano. Ladies, welcome to studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How are you guys feeling?
Thrilled.
Excited.
Tired.
Tired. Oh. Well, personally, I'm nervous. I think it's also because mental illness is one of those topics that hit home, and just knowing what an issue it is in South Africa. But before we get into that, I just want to speak to Neo Fabulous about the NPO, Safe Space Inc. Can you tell us more about that?
Thanks, Pinky. Safe Space Inc., as you said, is an NPO that deals with mental illnesses. I started it after the demise of WHP in October last year. It was literally 2 days after he had taken his life. But I had always wanted to do something like this. I'm living with a mental illness myself. And basically, I'm not saying what mental illness, because I want to send the message out there that a mental illness is a chemical imbalance in the brain, period. As I deal with people, when you say to a person, you have bipolar, you have schizophrenia, as opposed to you have depression, the reactions are different. The schizophrenia, the bipolar, and everything else are taken as ulihlanya. Depression is like, oh, at least I want people to look at me and to say that person has a chemical imbalance in the brain, but that person is doing well. That person is able-bodied, is fully functional. She just takes a medication. She's just unwell in the brain, which is okay. I mean, people take ARVs because they are unwell in their immune system. So I started that. And as a child, I have always known that something is not right with me.
Yeah.
I have felt very different. You know, I wasn't like other kids. I don't know how else to explain it. I really was different throughout my adult life. I was diagnosed in 2010, I think it was, 2011, or somewhere around there. And that's when I put my finger on it and I said, that's it. Once I learned more and more.
And that's when you decided to take a step.
That's when I decided to take a step.
Now, before we move into the details, you're here with Neo Silibano.
Correct.
So how did you guys meet?
So I've been trying to garner attention to create awareness on my initiative. So I put up a post on a page on Facebook, and she saw the post and she contacted me. Really, the rest is history, unless if she wants to add.
No, maybe you can tell us a little bit more.
I saw a post on Facebook. She was reaching out wanting help with mental illness awareness and so forth. And since I had just opened Emalina, I then reached out and told her that I just started my NPO. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but it's an NPO for depression awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And then we linked up and our visions were the same, or we aligned in the same direction.
Okay. So you're the founder of Emalina.
Yes.
Which directly means stand with me.
Yes.
Now tell me, why did both of you decide to take the step?
For me personally, originally, I'm from a township called Mansfield. It is on the west of Johannesburg. It is relatively unknown. Every time I say I'm from Mansfield, people go like, huh?
Look, I also had them on my
face. Exactly. You know that, huh? It's a very marginalized township. People don't know about it. I'm an ordinary girl. There's nothing special about me, except that I knew that people were dying, and they were dying unnecessarily at the hands of mental illness.
Mm. And people by dying, are you saying pain. Suicide?
Suicide, yes. Okay. And people were living in pain because they can't come out and speak. We call them mahlanya. We call them batshunywa ke madlozi. We call them bewitched. So I decided to be the difference. When I started Safe Space Inc., I literally did not know how I was going to do it. I had no resources. I still don't, actually.
Mm.
And I just started. I decided to be the difference. I knew that it could be a small difference, but there's a saying that goes, when the difference is small, then it is the small things that make the difference. And I just did it.
And Neo Silibano, what was your motivation?
2016, October, I was diagnosed with depression. after being diagnosed, I was hospitalized for about 21 days. When I was diagnosed, my mom didn't understand what was happening with me. She didn't understand. Okay, so you can just go to hospital for bed rest, Newo. That's what she would say. My mom came to only see me 3 weeks later. It was very hard because every time I would walk into one of the sessions, they would ask me about my mom and I couldn't answer. My mom is not here. My mom doesn't understand. My mom says I must pray about it. My mom says I must get over it. I'm only referring to my mom because she's the closest thing I have when I was diagnosed, right? And then eventually she came around. As soon as my mom came around, something positive happened. The way I looked at my suffering or whatever that I was going through changed because she decided to stand by me. Hence, I started Emalena. And I was tired of people say, when you say you have depression, they'll say, no, you want attention, you want this, you want that. I'm simply saying, when somebody comes to you with a mental illness, stand by them and they will save themselves. Because that's what happened. I'm not saying my mom saved me, but as soon as I had support from my mom and my family, things changed.
So now I think the great part here is that you had your mom.
Yes.
And that also stems in the whole awareness issue of mental illness.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to say about that? What are the struggles that you're facing in terms of awareness?
Look, with Safe Space Inc., there's things that I assume are obvious and people don't really know about. For example, even with depression, people just don't get it. They think you are just down or you just feel sad or you are having an offish morning or whatever. It is deeper than that. You're an attention seeker. You know, they will ask you, why don't you just go to a braai with your friends? Why don't you go shopping? You know, what is wrong with you? You know, stand up. Why don't you take a bath? Because when you have depression,
which even bath are you referring to?
Bath as in...
Oh, okay. Because I mean, there's also that ancestral bath. Like, no, you need to have the rituals. Yes. Yeah.
Even that. You know, I don't know what hotlavela madlozi is. It to step for the ancestors?
Slaughter.
Yeah. And they don't understand. And it's things that I'm thinking, oh my word, you know, a person would come to me and they would tell me a story and I would say to them, you are suicidal. And they're not even aware. So it is quite shocking. There's no awareness. There is no awareness from a perspective of the support structure that you have, your family, your colleagues, your friends. They just don't understand. There's no support structure for employed people. I mean, 1 in 4 people are living with depression, people who are working. So there's chances that a person that you're sitting next to at work has to cope with depression. So that's the thing. The workplace is just not friendly for people with depression.
And not enough awareness.
Newo would speak on that as well, elaborate on that. But also on the flip side of the coin, people with mental illnesses don't understand that the responsibility to be well and to stay well is theirs. The only way to beat your mental illness is to know about it. Like, you must know about it like the back of your hand. You must know your meds. You must know the side effects. You must know that when things change, you need to go to your psychiatrist.
Look, understand, it's tedious. Yeah, yeah, a full understanding.
Know? Yeah. Because I keep running to my psychiatrist all the time when I get the triggers. You know, when somebody passes away, my dad passed away from cancer. Every time, you know, cancer is mentioned, I kind of like get messed up. But you need to do it.
So I guess besides expecting society to be aware of mental illness, you yourself should understand
what you're dealing with. Yeah.
Yes.
And unfortunately,
and then now, on your side,
I don't.
How has it been? How has the awareness been? Besides your mom.
After people started understanding that I have depression, the minute I started opening up, I started having, you know what, my friends were always there. There's friends that I call at 1 a.m. when I can't sleep, or I'm crying, or I'm just feeling down and out. There's people on my speed dial that are standing by me. Basically, I have about 10 friends that know that Newo suffers.
Is this because you can't make friends or?
No, I can make friends. I have a lot of friends, but there's those specific 10 friends
who understand depression.
Okay. They don't suffer from depression, but you know what? All of a sudden, they understand my medication more than me. Mm. They understand my emotions. They know how, what, or when to do it just to pick me up. And I'm just saying, at least have 2 people whom you can call. My grandma used to say, "How ukula busiku baba butel."
Yeah,
you know, that's when suicide thoughts come.
So basically,
come,
that's during sickness you'll have the longest night.
Yes. Yeah. once you have somebody to talk to for those hours, you know, we have 3 minutes, most. So you call and talk and talk, and it makes you feel better. This depression, people love talking. The minute you talk, I always say when I walk to see my psychiatrist, I don't know why I'm here. So basically, I just come here to look at you and talk, and then I feel better. They don't even say anything. Okay, how are you feeling?
But the relief you get from that
after doing helps that. A lot. So it's all about talking.
Now, talking about the awareness part, we have Mbali here. Now, Mbali, what has been your experience?
Personally, I'm not yet diagnosed with anything, but I've always known that I have a problem. When I would wake up at like 3 a.m. and start crying, when I would close myself in my room, lock myself all day, I don't want to bath, I don't want to eat, I just feel sad. I don't know what's making me sad, but here I am very sad, and I'm crying the whole time. But also with me, I can be sad now, then 5 minutes later, I'm cool. And I don't understand. I'm like, okay, I'm okay. And then again, I start over.
And that's when you get the comments of what's that, you know?
Yes, yes. So, how I got to know, you know, it was one of those days where I felt like that. So I posted in this other group on Facebook. Then this girl contacted me, and then we started talking. She was like, how are you feeling? And I'm like, I'm feeling this and this and this. And she's like, is there anything specific happening in your life? I'm like, there's nothing happening in my life. And then she said, okay, I think you are depressed. And then she referred me to Neo.
Okay.
And then I texted Neo, and I was so afraid. I remember, I was like, it's a Sunday. Mdanabantu is over there chilling, doing whatever. And here I am. I sent her a text, and then she was very open. She was very welcoming. And I felt like it's safe.
Yeah,
I was like, she's
like, finally someone.
She is a safe space. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I texted her, and then we spoke, and then she said, okay, from what you're saying, I can say you do have a mental illness, but what it is, I can't, you know, pinpoint. Mm. But you have to go and get a diagnosis. Mm. So with me, I've always been one of those people also who, you know, when it comes to people with depression and stuff, I'd be like, you're being sensitive.
Okay.
Why are you being oversensitive? We can't even laugh with you now. Why? I couldn't understand. Ugutsi, I'd be like, I'm a mood swings. You know those people about moody. Also, it's so sad because it had to happen to me for me in order to understand it. Mm-hmm. Also, because apart from me, I've also been in a relationship with someone who has a mental illness. So I think besides me, that's when I started understanding it. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is very strange. You know, 70% of the time this person is like this, but there's also this side to him also where he could be happy, and then all of a sudden
just switches. Yeah,
yeah. And
but I guess the good part here is that you know the best of both worlds.
Yes.
So as much as you were the one who was like,
yeah,
you also know the pain of it.
Yes, I do. And how you feel is all up to you. How you decide to deal with your mental illness, being well, is your responsibility. Because this is what also happens. You find someone with a mental illness, and they make it an excuse to do isn't do. I know. I also feel like that. I have a daughter. Sometimes I don't want to parent. I'm like, I do not want to be a parent today.
You know, I don't that want... it's a responsibility.
Yes, I do not want to be a mother. I feel like running away. I feel like screaming. I feel like 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, all these feelings, they lead to something at the end of the day. You know,
what I'm taking from what you're saying is that there is a sense of responsibility that's needed, not just from yourself, but from even the people around you.
Yes. Sure.
Now, how do you feel South Africa is taking on depression, or rather, let's say, mental illness as a whole? Do you think there's enough awareness? Is there enough facilities? Is government doing enough?
Short answer, no. And in our defense, you know, we haven't been exposed to mental illness as Black people, really. It's quite foreign. But that's not an excuse, you know. You can do something. Now you know that somebody within your family committed suicide or attempted suicide or whatever. You know, we can make that difference, each and every one of us. There isn't. I mean, we are looking at getting sponsors. Neo was planning to host a walkathon. You know, we wanted to do it together and stuff like that. It costs a lot of money. We knock on doors asking for sponsorships from private businesses, and people look at us like, what are you talking about?
Why would we waste our money on this?
Why would we waste our money on this? And they don't understand.
Mm.
75% of South Africans are living with a form of a mental illness.
Mm.
You may not be living with a mental illness yourself, but there could be somebody in your family that is struggling, or somebody that is even wanting to commit suicide.
And I mean, earlier on, you mentioned WHP. I've noticed that whenever there is a suicide, then, you know, everybody's up in arms. Oh, we should have done this. We should have done that. Then give it a couple of weeks and then it's all quiet now. Back to normality. Nobody actually does anything about it. So what are you expecting? What are you expecting from government, from people, from private entities? What would you like to see?
Personally, I'm not expecting anything as yet from the government. I was telling Newa that sometimes you need to start what you believe in without support. And then whatever that you're doing should make enough noise for the government to take notice.
It's just such that what the government takes notice of is suicides.
Yes. So, so with regards to that, when she spoke about the walkathon. The reason Emalina decided to go with the walkathon is because the youth, the generation that we are living in currently wants fun. You cannot call them into to Orlando Stadium just to sit there and listen to Newa talking. No ways. They're not going to come. So I decided to go with a more fun, vibey way to make people talk about mental illness while learning about it. So that's why we're opting for a picnic instead of the walkathon.
Now, talking about the generation, today's generation, there's so many challenges, and one of them is social media. And I think it's had one of the biggest impact on mental illness.
Yeah.
So what's your take on that?
It's terrible. In a sense that it's amazing. And like I said, when we were outside, there was somebody who actually contacted me via Safe Space, and they felt down because they were not receiving comments and enough likes on their pages. And I was legit shocked. I was like, does it really, really happen? And it does happen. That is the reality. I mean, my niece is what? Turning 10 in September. She's got the latest gadget. I think it's an iPhone. She's on Instagram. She's on, and we don't
obsessed
understand.
About likes.
Yes. Yeah. We don't understand the pressure. You know, our young people, my heart breaks for young people.
And
the
I mean,
situation.
Just thinking about your niece. So now she's handling puberty and likes.
Yeah. It takes a lot of education. Sometimes it beats me as well to say, you can never say, I'm only going to follow, you know, motivational people and business pages. It doesn't matter.
Because I mean, even the pressure to look the part, you know, look successful, post this, don't post anything bad, you know, makeup, this, even that pressure.
You even forget that there's filters.
And I guess it also boils back to responsibility.
Yes.
If we were responsible citizens, then we do better, comment better, you know?
Another thing with social media, the previous generation didn't have Facebook, for example. So you wouldn't know what Neo is doing if I was in high school with Neo. Now we were both in the same class. Neo is driving Mercedes. Neo is working in that office space. Neo owns a townhouse. And then you come, and then there's Neo. Neo must take care of a family. So instead of me buying myself that thing, I must now focus on black text. I will say black text because that's what it's called. So I need to take care of my mom, this and that. And then I look at my salary that, ish, if I was not taking care of my family, then I could afford the BMW. But unfortunately, I cannot. So the pressure that comes with social media is really immense.
But now, what do you guys think needs to happen? Should we just cut out social media?
No, I don't think we should cut it out because social media is good.
Because on the other side, that's how people get to know more about.
That's the way to go. I mean, that's how I met Gareth.
Yeah,
for
safe space.
You know, safe space. People know. That's how I met Neo. You know, it's
a tricky one, eh?
It's a very tricky one. You have to be responsible about your Facebook or social media usage. Like I said earlier on, even I have to shut down often because it drains me. Then it affects my mental illness. So I have to, I literally put out my cell number and I'm saying, even on safe space, I'm not going to be there because I can't pour from an empty cup. So I shut down and for about a week or something like that, whatever, 3 days. So it's all about the education, you know, in terms of young people. As a parent, just time and again, just check what your child is doing and, you know, what's
happening. I completely agree with you.
You know, and
even the parents themselves, I think we need to get to a point where we understand the implications of what we tweet, what you say in a comment, you know. Like, to you, it might seem like, it's a comment, you forget about it. But to someone else, it sticks.
I was about to say that.
So I guess it also boils back to awareness. Like, you need to be aware of what you tweet. Yeah. The more people understand, what not to do, what to do, or what your actions could lead to. That would be best. And now talking about awareness, I mean, most of us spend most of our lives at work. I mean, you spend less time at home as compared to work with your colleagues and so on, with your employees. And I think that's the main place where awareness should be.
I agree.
Personally, I'm going to start doing talks in companies. Mm-hmm. I've sent out a few letters to some 3-4 companies to be saying, even yourself as a boss or a business owner, you need to understand that it could affect you.
Mm.
You need to know how to cope.
It's not just your employees. It includes you.
And how to deal with them and how to handle such situations. So I think if you even go into companies and speak about this and say to people, look, there's Emalina, there's Safe Space Inc. We are bodies or NPOs that can give you assistance that you can speak to. Sometimes you knock off, you can't speak to anybody that offers. You feel your family or friends don't understand. Get in touch with us. Mm. Talk to us.
With regards to employers, I feel, okay, obviously companies have wellness programs, right?
Yeah.
But now most companies...
I'm not sure, yeah. I don't think all companies...
But most of them have them. Most companies don't cover you the minute you're saying you... They don't have your back the minute you're diagnosed with depression.
I mean, you can't even apply for a job and say in the interview that
yes,
I am...
you have depression. Because the minute you say that, the employer will start thinking, oh, 6 months away every year.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So with regards to employers obviously need to have a certain insurance whereby if you are diagnosed with mental illness, they should cover you like somebody who was diagnosed with cancer. I mean, cancer patients go... once diagnosed and they start the chemo, they can be off work for almost a year. But with regards to mental illness, they don't cover that. So now it brings me to, do I, as a black child, taking care of my family, and I'm diagnosed with depression, do I treat depression and say to my employer, I'll come back after 6 months without a salary? What am I going to eat?
Mm.
How am I going to survive? And it also takes it back to, I told you a story about my sister. She was diagnosed from March. She's supposed to go back to work September. But instead, the employer said, we don't know if you'll still have your position when you come back.
Mm.
On top of it, they're not paying her salary anymore. On top of it, I don't know if I should mention the insurance, but I don't think I should.
That's not you.
Well, the insurance that the company had said depression is not a chronic. So what's supposed to happen? Do I treat mental illness or do I focus on my well-being? Because obviously at the end of the day, our salary has your monthly salary has responsibility, like it covers most of the things that you need to cover.
So you end up having to sacrifice yourself,
yes,
sacrifice your health just to make sure you get
so how do
income.
You go from your 5,000 rand salary, for example, to zero for the next 7 months? How are you supposed to survive?
And how does that help your state, like your mental state?
Yes, it doesn't. It just makes it worse.
No, I completely get you. But now, what do you guys want to see, like, going forward? What are you hoping for with your initiatives?
For me, personally, my biggest gripe is with the public health sector, I must be honest. People come through to me and I tell them where to go. Look, not all of them, really. I've got many clinics and many public hospitals that are absolutely fantastic that I've been to myself. But the bulk of them, they treat our mentally ill people with the greatest level of disgust.
Mm.
I'm not sure why. And it is so painful when I have to refer somebody like Mbali to a public facility and she says, I'm not going back there.
Mm.
It's happened.
They're not equipped to deal with mental illness.
But sometimes I don't understand, because a person can walk in there sick and then you say, suthale tlhanya kwena. The Minister of Health can't come in.
I mean,
teach
even
you.
The stigma that comes with failed suicide attempts.
Yes, that stigma. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't, like, must the president come and tell you that you don't say such things to people? You are a professional. Now, the government has got this tagline or whatever you call it. It says Batupeli principles. And yet you treat people like that. Look, I understand things like being under-resourced and stuff like that. That's another story for another day. It's something that they can change. But my personal plea to public service healthcare providers, can we please treat people with respect?
Mm.
When you come and collect your ARVs, people don't say to you, "Tsamaya sokwena sa AIDS." But why must you say such things to people living with mental illnesses? I don't know. It's so, so that's just that.
And then Noah?
With what Noah said, I completely agree with whatever that she said, everything actually that she said. But obviously, the hardest thing that we are facing as mental ill people, If you're not employed and you don't have a medical aid, the treatment that you get is totally different.
Mm.
I was hospitalized in a private hospital. Obviously, my story will be different from somebody.
Mm.
My friend was diagnosed a few months back. She told me that there was cages, there was what in a certain
cages.
Hospital. Yes.
Really? They were kept in a cage?
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
There's cages.
Okay.
So, you know what? So, how do I refer somebody like in Bali and say, please go to this certain hospital? And then
when you
she
know
walks
that she won't have access to what you... Yeah.
Okay, no, people are in cages. So, already you start to feel like an animal. We need to take away that.
Mm.
And it's not... I don't want to bring color into it, but the truth of the matter is, when I talk to a white person with mental illness, the response I get is always different. Unlike when I'm talking to a black person. A black person is like, you never.
It's witchcraft. It's this, yeah.
Yes, food, I like that, this, you know.
Yeah.
No, but it's not that. Like Newo said, it's just a chemical imbalance. You just need treatment and you'll be fine. Now, with regard, with me, I'm also looking into going... I was telling Newo that we need to paint Soweto green. It needs to be green.
Why specifically green?
Okay, green is associated with depression and mental illness. So the same way, when somebody walks in with a pink T-shirt, will know that they're representing their cancer survivor, or they're living with cancer, or they were affected by cancer. People need to be able to wear green October and say, no, I know somebody who has mental illness. I have mental illness, without being shy about it. And still looking good in it. So, and another thing, people perceive us as those people who are, hey, because you're depressed, you cannot be wearing lipstick. I always say to people, depression sleeps. I can be happy now and walk out of here and you get a call. Oh my God, Newo relapsed.
Mm.
Depression plays with you anytime. The question is, are you ready to play with it?
Mm.
You know, so you need to always be ready to face it and be able to deal with it.
I like that. Are you ready to play with it?
No.
Okay. No, I hear you. And then Bali, on your side?
Mina, personally, I'd like for people to educate themselves about these things, because I personally come from the townships. I have friends who say, ah man, it's a white thing. Why, how can you say you have a mental illness? Such things are for white people. You can't say as a black person, man, nedlos, or you need to, you know, go home, bagwenzele, some sort of ritual, and then you'll be fine. I remember also there was this other year when I was battling with things. So my mom took me to the rural areas, and then my dad did the whole thing, slaughter goats, whatever. But it didn't make much of a difference. Mm. It didn't make any difference.
The poor
actually,
goat died in vain.
This is a medical condition, you understand? And also, when I spoke to my mom about it, I'm like, Mom, I'm feeling something, and I think I should consult the medical facility. Mm. And she was like, no, go to church. How can you say such things? Go to church. You're allowing this bad spirit to take over you. So I think it should start there. It should start within the community. Once a community is well educated and they know about these things and they see this thing, okay. Also, banga viewy people with mental illnesses, as in bayahlanya, it's normal, but you're just dealing with a specific thing. You know, and it comes to you, you know, unexpectedly. So you don't do that to yourself. And yeah,
and
so
I guess the whole point is to intervene now before it's too late.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So communities should start, you know, educating themselves about these things, because also Neo said it's not about who's educated and who's not. But a lot of people are downplaying a mental illness, and it's out there and it's eating us. And it's in black communities, so many people are struggling with it, but they have no idea. They are not treating it. People die every single day. People die in the hands of men. People die in the hands of whatever. But if we spoke about these things, Uguti, it's okay. Let's talk about it. It's happening. Yes. So,
Okay. No, so look, there's NPOs like Emma Linna. There's Safe Space. So I think we're off to a really great start.
Mm.
So it's just a matter of pushing the momentum, getting the support,
sure,
and just spreading awareness.
Mm.
And like Newo said, it's a constant battle. It's a constant fight. And when you said you need to ask yourself if whether you're going to play with it, I see it in a positive light, you know, because you know it's there. You could either perceive it as this perpetrator that just is with you 24/7, or as a challenge that you beat every time.
True.
You know,
yes, like you go, put it back to sleep.
Exactly, put it back to sleep. If it comes back again, you know what to do.
Yes.
And if you're struggling to do it on your own, approach the people that support you. If you're struggling to do it via Emmaline, that you have safe space.
Yes.
But it's a matter of us just creating that awareness, standing together and doing what we can to fight this.
And it gets easier.
It gets easier.
It gets easier. I mean, my body's programmed. I drink my meds at about 10. I just feel it. I don't even have to look at the time.
Yeah.
It knows.
You know that it's time. Yeah. It's time to fight the demons.
Yes.
Okay. Ladies, thank you for coming through.
Thank you for having us.
Look forward to seeing more of your work. And I'm guessing if people want to get in touch, it's via Facebook.
Yeah.
So they Facebook is Safe Space?
Safe Space Inc. INC.
Okay.
Okay. I can be contacted on my website, www.emmaline.co.za.
Okay. Perfect. And the responses, are they speedy? Do you take a year?
Yes. It's amazing. It's growing. Safe Space is growing at a very rapid speed.
Okay.
But I found an assistant in Mbali.
Okay, perfect.
She's absolutely brilliant, by the way.
No, that's beautiful to hear. Thank you, ladies, and all the best for you the future. CliffCentral.com.